Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Okay, so let's find out what happened in Har Sinai through the lenses of Rashi. So we'll discuss a few Rashis in Parshas Yisro. But the general theme of all the Rashis today is the balance at Har Sinai between proximity and distance, between intimacy and unknowability, between Avas Hashem and between Yirat Shamayim. And Har Sinai is really the seminal moment of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all this has to be very carefully calibrated. Now, there's no question that one of the major thrusts of Har Sinai is the distance and unknowability, because they come from the pagan culture, which assumes that God could be visualized and sculpted and painted. And they're going to enter a pagan culture. Remember, at this point, the plan was to enter Eretz Yisrael in a few weeks, not 40 years later. So they're entering a real cesspool of paganism. So Kodesh Baruch Hu has to, Chaim, come a little closer. Kodesh Baruch Hu has to help them realize that he can't be understood, he can't be found. So that's why, on the one hand, something we won't discuss today, the fire and the smoke and the lack of any imagery, which is something that Moshe Rabbeinu stresses in Veschanan several times on Har Sinai. You didn't see any images, only heard a voice called the Varim Atem Shomim. So one aspect being stressed is the unknowability. Another aspect being stressed about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's monotheism is not just the unknowability, but the unapproachability. There's the two major themes of what happens at Har Sinai. A, you can't see Hashem, you can't see anything. B, you can't get close to Hashem, despite the fact that you want to run and be close, you have to keep a distance. So that's why the mountain was off limits during the day of Matan Torah. This is a stark departure from paganism. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu has to depart Mitzrayim before he davens, because Kitzesi Sa'ir Eferosis Kapai, he tells Pyro, and Rashi tells us the reason he couldn't daven in Mitzrayim is because there were pagan shrines in every corner. Not just in every corner, but there were idols in every house and in every area. So that's the setup for this very, very interesting Rashi. What happens is, in Pasuk Yud Beis, V'hig Balta Esa Am Saviv Limor, the word Gvul appears twice in the Pasuk. It's very important. It's the first time you have the word Gvul. The word Gvul, of course, means a boundary. Higbalta Sa'am, sorry, it occurs later and only once in this Pasuk. Vigbalta Esa'am Saviv Leimar, Hishamru Lachem Alos Bar Nagor Bekotseu, Kala Noger Bahar Mos Yumas. So the Pasuk describes the Gvul, describes a penalty. If you touch even a part of the mountain, Kala Noger Bekotseu, even if you touch part of the mountain, even if you don't ascend to the mountain summit, because that's Hashem's zone. For Har Sinai, for Matan Torah, your zone is meant to be different, not just unknowability, but unapproachability. Okay. Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu erects tchumen. He actually put up little signs. Kavalem tchumen. He put up signs, don't go past there. So it wasn't just theoretical, it was actual, vivid, and concrete. But here's the interesting Rashi. Lemor, Higbalta Esa'am Saviv Lemor. Hashem tells Moshe, make a boundary for the people and tell them Lemor. Rashi says, Lemor hagvul omer lahem. The mountain itself would speak to them if they passed it, and the mountain would say, Hishamru me'alos mikan v'hala. Be careful, don't pass further. The simple reading in Rashi, there's a lot of debate whether Rashi meant this, but the simple reading of Rashi is that nature became animated, and if you pass by the boundary would start speaking to you and say, don't go any further. You can't pass any further, because the rest is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's zone for Matan Torah, and you're not meant to be in that zone. So it wasn't just that Moshe Rabbeinu put up signposts and walls and warnings, but nature itself announced the distance and the unapproachability that had to be maintained. Now, first of all, this is a very interesting Rashi, because it's an example where Rashi describes a nace that doesn't appear in the Torah. We would assume that all the nisim appear in the Torah. You can't just make up, so to speak, make up an ace. Rashi is deducing it from the language of Lemor, that the mountain itself said, don't go any further. Does anyone know where else Rashi talks about nature speaking or something inanimate speaking that doesn't appear in the Torah? We'll read soon Parshas Matos. And when the description of dividing Eretz Yisrael is presented, Rashi says the Goral would announce, this is where Naphtali should be. This is where Yisachar should be. The actual lottery would make an announcement. So these are two examples where Rashi develops a miracle that doesn't appear in the Torah. Now the question is, not just how did Rashi get this, But why is it important for Har Sinai, for nature, to be warning the people not to get close to Har Sinai? Why is this an important miracle to occur? Miracles don't happen on their own, for no reason, for no purpose. I think it's twofold. Number one, because Har Sinai is redistillation and reconfiguration of nature. If Har Sinai wouldn't have occurred, the entire world would have been plunged into the pre-creation state of chaos. Hashem created the world for one reason, that there should be a spiritual element and His presence should be known. And for 2,448 years until that reality happened, the world was like jello, it was unstable. And all the cataclysmic events reflected the instability of the world. Once Am Yisrael accepts the Torah, the world is recreated and re-solidified. That's why Rashi in Parshas Bereishis says that all the days of creation are called Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. What's the sixth day called? Yom Shishi or Hashishi. So what does Rashi say? A very famous Rashi. That even though to the optics it looked like the world was completed on the sixth day of creation, its full consolidation was delayed until another sixth day. Not the sixth day of creation, but the sixth day of Siva. Yom Hashishi. Even though it looked as if the world was finished, it wouldn't be fully finished till the spiritual substrate was developed. That would happen 2,448 years after creation, Yom HaShishi. That's why the day was a day of hurricanes and rain and sounds. It was a day in which nature was being thrown into tumult. Because when Am Yisrael accepts the Torah, nature's future is very much hanging in the balance. And once Am Yisrael accepts the Torah, nature becomes solidified. So nature has a vested interest in this day happening. It's not just important for Am Yisrael. If we hadn't accepted the Torah, the world would have collapsed. There'd be no purpose for this world, and it would have returned to the state of void that preceded Maaseh Bereishis. V'aretz ha'aseh sohu v'avohu. So nature has a vested interest in making sure the Jewish people don't ascend Har Sinai in short-circuiting Matan Torah. So nature is warning you, please, don't get close to Har Sinai. We need it. We need this to happen. That's why the mountains are speaking, or the ground itself is saying, so that we realize that this is a day. That's why Shavuos is partially a day of Rosh Hashanah. Remember during Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we talk a little bit about Har Sinai. What possible relationship does Shavuos have to Rosh Hashanah? Because Shavuos was the second Rosh Hashanah. The first Rosh Hashanah was creating the physical substrate. The second Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos, created that second. In the section of Shofaros, we talk about blowing the shofar on Shavuos because it's part two of Maaseh Bereishis. Second reason is, again, because nature is warning the people to keep their distance, because in the world of paganism, nature is God. In a direct sense, certain cultures worship nature. It's called pantheism. So they see the entire world of nature as replete with Hashem's presence. If we don't believe Hashem's presence doesn't course through nature, nature is Hashem's creation. Hashem isn't in a tree. Hashem isn't in a blade of grass. Hashem isn't in an animal, chas v'shalom. Or even if you don't talk about cultures that are pantheistic, but cultures that worship different parts of nature, animals, planets, seasons, lakes, certainly mountains are very much a subject for pagan worship. So here, the mountains and the valleys are saying, no, don't go up there, this is Hashem. So it's shattering pagan prejudices and pagan conventions, because nature is saying, we're not God. Hashem is up there in Shemayim, the Shechina is descending onto the mountain, don't go close to the mountain. So it's a fascinating Rashi. Hagbel sa'am saviv lemor. Rashi says lemor doesn't mean that Moshe was speaking. He may have said it also, but it means the actual landscape, the terrain, became animated and warned the Jewish people not to advance too far. Why? It's a nes that doesn't appear in the Torah. Why is it important for nature to be involved in this? For two reasons. A, because nature has skin in the race, as we would say. Nature needs Har Sinai to occur. Second of all, because this is shattering and it's dismantling pagan associations that God's presence rests in nature. Okay, so that's the distance and the unapproachability. However, when Moshe finally takes the Jewish people to meet Hashem, Vayotzei Moshe Asa'am Likrasar Elokim. It doesn't say Vayotzei Moshe Asa'am El Har Sinai Likrasar Elokim, to rendezvous with Hashem. So Rashi comments that Am Yisrael was walking to meet Hashem, but you know what? Hashem was also walking to meet Am Yisrael. The language of Rashi is Magid Shashchina Yatza Likrasam. That they were meeting Hashem, and Hashem was walking towards them, Kechasan Hayotze Likrasakala. As a groom would take a few steps, as we do in a wedding, to escort the Kala, not wait for the Kala to come to him. Namely, it was also a day of a marriage, it was also a day of a chuppah, it was also a day of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just being unapproachable and distant, but also expressing his love for the Jewish people, a love that is encapsulated in the sefer called Shir HaShirim, where there's a lot of imagery of the chassan walking to the kala. Let me come meet you in the fields. Let's go see if the buds have sprouted. Let's see if the birds are chirping. Where when you love someone, you walk to them and you try to find them. You don't let them come to you. So the word lekras means that Hashem was walking towards them. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Mezuzos HaBracha to stress this. One of the early pasukim in Mezuzos HaBracha, which we know very well because of Simchas Torah, Hashem mi Sinai ba bizarach mi Seir lamo. What should the literal reading of the pasuk be? Not Hashem mi Sinai ba, but Hashem l'Sinai ba, should come down from heaven to Har Sinai, where he delivers the Torah. But the pasuk says Hashem mi Sinai ba. Rashi quotes this pasuk. Hashem first visits Sinai and then walks from Har Sinai to greet the Jewish people as they're journeying and pilgriming to Har Sinai. So lekras elokim means Moshe is taking the people and walking with them to meet Hashem. Remember your math equations? Two trains traveling at a clip of 15 kilometers. All those math equations. These are two different forces, two different beings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, meeting one another at the foothills of Har Sinai, as Hashem wants to show us how much He loves us. Finally, one other dilemma, not really a dilemma, but a paradox that captures the paradox of Har Sinai. Is it a day of distance, fear, fright, fire, smoke, or is it a day of intimacy and chuppah? It's both, because that's the complexity of our relationship with Hashem. We're meant to try to generate Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, which I'll talk about as our series of Shiurim starts to unfold. So Hashem comes, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, Pasuk Chaf, al Rosh Ahar. Hashem descends to Har Sinai. Okay, that sounds like Hashem leaves heaven and descends to Har Sinai. On the other hand, Rashi quotes a pasuk, Ki min Hashemayim dibarti imachem. Hashem says, I spoke to you from the heavens. So where was Hashem during Har Sinai? Was He in the heavens, booming and fulminating His voice downwards? Or was He Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai? Interesting question. So Rashi says, I'll solve it for you. Hashem took all the heavens, both the upper heavens and the lower heavens, namely what we call space and our atmosphere. Hashem took every part of the heavens, folded it, implanted it on top of the mountain, and stood there, so to speak, on top of these folded heavens covering the mountain and delivered Torah. So both pesukim are right. He descends to the mountain, but He's still in Shemayim. Because Shemayim has now been, that's what I'm looking for, lowered and implanted and fused to Har Sinai. And Rashi develops a metaphor, just in case you want to understand it, like a bedspread on top of a bed. The bed being Har Sinai, the bedspread being all the heavens and all the space. Which means that, as I said before, Torah is a fusion of heaven and earth. This isn't just a day for Torah to be to change earth and to change nature, but it's a day to change the heavens, because Torah is Hashem's world. So everything that exists, all of the universe, not just nature, everything, is built on Torah. When Hashem delivers Torah, it all gets reconfigured. So everything gets physically, metaphorically, and physically, imagine the visuals, the entire universe is now compacted and condensed into Har Sinai. And Torah is being delivered right through that vortex, right through that funnel. And everything gets changed by Torah's presence, not just the nature and the terrain and the water and the animals, but space and time. Everything that we live through, Hashem takes the heavens, folds it, and brings it down with Him to Har Sinai. That's why the Torah telegraphs this and codes this by saying that one in Hashem is in Shemayim, and then he's Har Sinai, and he be above, because everything now, all space has been collapsed into Har Sinai. That's where all of reality is, and that's where Torah is delivered, and all of reality is being shaped. So it's a fascinating series of three Rashis. One is that the mountains are speaking. Two is that Hashem is running out to greet us like a chassan, the crosser elokim. Three is Hashem's in Shemayim, and He's also in Har Sinai, because at this point in history, they're the same. All reality now is pivoted on Har Sinai. Okay? Everyone have a great, great Shabbos and a great Yom Tov. Sorry I won't be here to share it with you. Nisim, I formally bequeath my cheesecake to you. You can have my piece of cheesecake. So when you go to the kitchen, say you get an extra piece of cheesecake. Have a good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov, everyone. Good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov. Good Shabbos. Chaim, everyone, ask you a question. Jacob, can I ask you just a question? Stick around for a second.